Pacers fans, it is Wednesday, which means it is Draft Wednesday, which means I'm going to tell you how you can win free money. Before we talk about the Bulls preview with Stefan No, I have to tell you about Draft because it is just the best, especially if you like fantasy sports. I know it is playoff time for fantasy football, but why not try to make some money while you're doing it on Draft? Did you know that your chances of winning on Draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? Because that is a fact, and that is why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. I hate getting crushed by people who study this stuff all day and have their Excel sheets and are pros and are there to make that their full-time job. So I got on Draft with another 1 million people, and I'm having a blast. And I'm playing live NBA drafts literally right now while I'm talking to you. I'm doing one. It's over. It'll be over before I'm done with the read, probably. And I can get paid tomorrow. Drafts fill every second, so you should join one right now. And if you join right now and you put the promo code LOPACERS in at checkout, you can play a real money draft for free with that promo code. And I know I beat this into you every Wednesday, but you have to do it. And I wouldn't keep telling you if it wasn't great, because if you put in that code now, you'll also get a money back guarantee up to $100. So you could be playing a ton of free drafts with money back guarantee. It's perfect. You should totally do it. Just search Draft on the App Store or go to draft.com. Come play for free right now with me and the rest of the Locked On Network. Remember to use the code LOPACERS at checkout. And now let's preview this Bulls game with Stefan No from The Athletic.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome in to this Wednesday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. Tonight, the Pacers play the Bulls after their huge win against the Knicks. The Bulls at the moment they just lost to the Cavs as we're recording this, so they are now 3-19. They are 30th in offense and 22nd in defense, and they're 17th in pace. And to preview this game with me, I have Stefan No from The Athletic Chicago here to talk Bulls with me. Stefan, man, how are you doing?
Hanging in there, man. I've watched all these games, so just try to find the positives where we can this season.
I'll open with this question. Who has been your favorite player to watch on this team so far this year?
Oh, undoubtedly Lauri Markkanen. he's basically the only reason why you should be watching Bulls games. He's been way better than anybody could have reasonably expected, although he has been slumping recently and he didn't play great in this Cavs game. But even still, like, he's been by far the Bulls' most entertaining player.
I definitely did not expect him to be leading the team in scoring. And, you know, he's already got a lot more feel on offense than I expected, both in the pick and roll and pick and pop. It's just, I feel like the problem is when I watch the Bulls, that they don't have anyone that can really get him the ball in good positions. Is that accurate, or is it just that he's just not, like, so polished yet?
No, you're definitely correct. The previous game, like, Chris Dunn, who is starting at point guard, he tried to lob the ball up into the post. This was actually to Robin Lopez, and he hit the rim on that lob throw. And that's, like, very common, where none of the Bulls guards, they're too scared to even try to attempt post-entry passes. And then when they do, they very frequently turn it over. So they're actually using Robin Lopez as the main entry guy for Markkanen because he's the best passer on the team.
Yeah, it was really interesting. When these teams played the first time, I noticed that post-passing thing that you just said, like, Jerian Grant started in that game, and he didn't have a single assist, and then Felder played 18 minutes, and he only had two assists, and Chris Dunn, in his minutes, to be fair, he had five assists, but when three-point guards combined for seven assists, they're not exactly the shot-creating all-stars you would expect. So with the Bulls, they're the 30th in offense now, and I think they were 30th the first time they played. Seems like they're having a lot of trouble putting the ball in the rim, and the stats back that up. Besides Lauri being good and Holiday shooting, whatever, 16 times a game, is point guard play really holding them back the most? Is that what's causing their offense to be so stagnant?
It's definitely not just one thing. I mean, the Bulls have a chance here to be a historically poor offense. If you look at the offensive ratings just from, like, the past 10 years or so, the only team that's even close to them is the 7-59 Bobcats in that lockout year, and that team had the lowest amount of wins in NBA history. So you're really looking at a unit that just cannot score at all.
Yeah, it's wild looking at some of the stats of these guys. I just can't believe that they've even won three games, to be honest. I know one of their wins, well, their only win in the interim between the last game against the Pacers in Chicago, and this one was an overtime win, I believe, over the Hornets, 123-120. But in the first game against these guys, the Pacers won 105-87 in Chicago. And if I remember correctly, the Pacers just put it away in the first quarter. They were up like 10 at halftime and kind of coasted the rest of the way. But like I said, besides the point guard play, the Oladipo, of course, who's been killing it all season, had a good game because the Bulls were so unable to stop him. You know, I don't think their wing defense is very good. I know David Nwaba might be their best wing defender. Is that a correct assumption?
It depends on if you consider Chris Dunn a wing defender. He mostly plays point guard, but the Bulls do run some steps where he and Grant play together, and then they'll slot Dunn in at the shooting guard. Both been playing awesome for the Pacers.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Dunn can really give him trouble, though, because he's a super athlete, and he's already like one of the best on-ball defenders for guards in the league. I think he doesn't get nearly enough credit. Off-ball, he can space out a little bit, but that's going to be a really good matchup.
Well, it's funny because Chris Dunn's pretty tall, too, for a point guard, right? So his 6'4 height will help him out a lot against Oladipo because Oladipo is also only 6'4", and I know he played a bunch in that first game and he played 33 minutes, but I don't remember exactly how much they were matched up. So I'll be on the lookout for that, but Oladipo having a big game was a big part of this first game. But I'm shocked to see that, you know, I look through the Bulls roster. It's like Markkanen, who was an awful defender in college and is now a pro, and then like Justin Holiday is an awful defender, and Denzel Valentine's an awful defender, and Jerian Grant's an awful defender, and these guys are getting huge minutes. And this team is 22nd in defensive rating, and I don't understand how they're not last. And I need more explanation for this cause at the moment.
I think a lot of it has to do with Robin Lopez, who is not the most mobile guy. If you like put him in space and pick and roll, he can really be exposed there. But he's a great rim protector, awesome defensive rebounder. And they also have this coach, Jim Boylan, who came over from Tree. He was a longtime assistant with the Spurs, and he really is. And Fred Hoiberg does the offensive stuff. I know the Pacers did something similar back when Larry Bird was a head coach. They had like specialist and offensive specialist. And yeah, that's really what the Bulls have done here. And so you got to give Boylan a ton of credit for that.
Yeah, is it, you know, I know Dunn came in to the pros as a lockdown guy, and when I have watched him, he's been pretty good at that. But like, you know, has Kay Felder been okay shutting guys down? Like, how are they stopping guys at the point of attack, or is it just when they get beat, Robin Lopez is able to bail them out more often than not?
I mean, they're definitely getting beat more often than not. Like, I think you said their defense is 22nd, so that's not anything amazing. but yeah, they're individual defenders. They're not that bad. Like Justin Holiday, Markkanen has been way better than what people thought coming into the draft. He was supposed to have really bad feet, but he actually moves his feet very well when he switched on to guards. Denzel Valentine, he's like one of the worst defenders in the league. Jerian Grant is also very bad. But then, yeah, you have David Nwaba, who's good. Paul Zipser's okay. So just down the roster, they have like mostly average to above average defenders.
Yeah, I wouldn't look at that, or I wouldn't know that from looking down the roster. My impressions of these guys are not as strong on the defensive end as they've turned out to be this year. I'm glad you said Paul Zipser's name because I wanted to talk about him too. In the first game, he was awful. In 13 minutes, he didn't score at all. I think his only counting stats was one assist and one rebound, and he was minus 16. And I know last year there was a lot of promise around him. He kind of crept into the starting lineup at the end of the year when there were some injuries. What, has he just been worse because the talent around him is worse, or has he markedly fallen off this year?
Well, this is the case for pretty much every player on this team, is they're being forced into a role which they are really not prepared for. Like every player has a higher usage than they probably should. Zipser is like a really good example of that. I was never that high on him, to be honest, but starter at the beginning of the year, and he was just, I mean, he has like one of the lowest PERs of any player in the NBA, and he's only broken double digits in scoring twice in the entire season. Started the first slate of games. I mean, that just tells you how bad he's been.
Yeah, the Bulls have four players with over 100 minutes under 10 PER, which is kind of insane. Zipser's down to 4.1 over 300 minutes, which is bonkers. I don't even know how they can play a guy that much who's been that bad. But I didn't know this too, that Blakeney, that two-way guy, has 163 minutes this year. And I know I was tweeting with Dan Feldman today, and I found out that Blakeney, who didn't play in the first game, has the second most minutes by a D-League, or second most points by a D-League player a two-way player so far this year. So I saw him have a big game against, I can't remember who, but I remember him popping up on my Twitter feed as one of those guys who was, you know, scoring quite a bit. And some of my Bulls followers are really excited about watching him. Is he, has he been fun to watch on offense? Has he been kind of some hope for this team?
So you said he had 160 something minutes. If I had to guess his field goal attempts, I would say it's also like in the 160 range. Actually, I'm looking at it right now. It's 77. It's not that bad, but, yeah, the guy can score a little bit. He was kind of like misused at LSU, where he played alongside Ben Simmons. Hoiberg had a really funny quote about Blakeney last week. He's rehabbing from injury and he's starting to play some one-on-one play against Levine. Hoiberg said the reason for that was because doesn't really notice the other four guys on the court, so he might as well just play one-on-one. which is like very true. He's like a total gunner and he doesn't play any defense, but when he gets hot, he can score a lot. He has some crazy dunks this year too.
Yeah, he was really exciting in the few minutes I got to see of him. Two more things I want to talk about before we really get you guessing on the final score here. One is Mirotić close enough to Beck that he could play in this game, or is he still far off with his face injuries / reintegrating issues?
I would put it at 50-50 right now. Hoiberg did mention the Pacers game as a possibility. So, yeah, what was the second part of your question?
Well, that was – I just remember it was a face injury, but I also know he has to get reintegrated in practice. So I kind of thought that he was healthy this week, but they were still kind of, you know, getting him some chemistry with the guys. So I wasn't sure if you'd heard anything, if that was the reason they were holding him out or not.
Yeah, he's been practicing with the G League team. So – I think that if he does play, like, he's probably not in like full conditioning, so he's not going to play a ton, but a decent chance that we see him.
That'd be fun. I'm excited to see him back. The other one is that in that first game, Denzel Valentine had a pretty rough game, but I went to a Big Ten school and I kind of believe in Denzel Valentine still. And I know he is playing a lot. I think he started a few games recently. So as he started to look better this year, I know he's starting to get some more minutes and he's shooting 40% from three, which is awesome.
Yeah, he's been really streaky, so he's always been able to hit the three ball really well. One thing you will definitely see is him pulling up on fast breaks for transition threes, and he actually shoots better on pull-ups than on spot-ups, and that's pretty much all he does. If he ever tries to drive into the lane, it is a disaster. He will take a floater that most of the time, like, he will airball or turn over. But yeah, he is a very dangerous 3-point shooter. So that's basically all the Pacers have to worry about.
Yeah. I hope they're able to shut him down. They haven't been great at defending the point of attack, but if he's not good driving, then that should be okay. Then my last question before we get into our score predictions, I guess, are, you know, what kind of adjustments do you think the Bulls are going to try to make after that first game to try to sneak out a win here on the road in Indiana?
Sorry, you cut out there for a second. Can you repeat that?
Oh yeah, sorry. What kind of adjustments do you think the Bulls are going to make to try to pull out this game in Indiana since they lost the first game by 18 points?
Oh man, I mean, like, there's not really that much they can do. They're just so starved of talent. Fred Hoiberg played in Indiana before. I think that he's like somewhat popular there, but oh, how good of a job he's done with this roster. I mean, you look at the Pacers before the year started, everybody thought that they were going to be like a bottom five team too, and formed, it seems like they've gotten great development from their young players, as I'm sure, you know, your listeners know. And you can't really say the same thing about the Bulls. It's just haven't really been able to put anything together this season.
Yeah, it's kind of upsetting looking at their roster, because I understand all the moves they made outside of the Butler trade, like how they wanted to form their roster with these young guys and like take on the Pondexter money, but it's just not working at the moment. But thankfully they'll have a hopefully very, very good draft pick that can lead them to the future. But all right, here's the hardest question of the day. I want the Athletic sponsored score prediction for the game. I still need Duncan's joke for that. I know he did that to you too.
So both teams have a day of rest, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'll say the Pacers win 105-95. I think that's pretty reasonable.
Okay. Yeah, they won by 18 in Chicago. And, you know, the Pacers played the Knicks today, but no Porzingis and no Hardaway, and they got a lot of garbage time. So tough to use that game to analyze how they'll play in this game going forward. But second game of a six-game homestand for the Pacers. I think they're going to be psyched up for this one, division rival at home. I think they're going to win by closer to 15, maybe like 110-95. I predicted a little higher than that on our weekly podcast, but you know, after seeing the garbage time against the Knicks, I realized that they're going to lose in garbage time against the Bulls too. So it should be a fun one. I'm excited. Do you got anything you want to promote before we get out of here? And where can people follow you? All that good stuff.
So you can follow me at StephNoh. That's StephNoh. And yeah, I have a Bulls podcast too that it's called Bull Court Press Podcast. And my work on The Athletic, that is paywalled, and we're in a bunch of different cities. Not yet, but maybe it'll be on the list soon.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. That'd be really cool. If you don't subscribe to The Athletic, you should. You pay for the subscription for one city and you get all of them, and they have every good writer ever, I think. So would highly recommend paying for The Athletic if you haven't yet. As always, we are at Locked On Pacers, and I am at TEastNBA. Make sure you follow Stefan if you want to keep up with the Bulls. You got to keep up with the Bulls because they're going to get Marvin Bagley, and then they're going to be the most exciting team to watch in the league. But everyone, though. Or Doncic, who really knows. But everybody have a great Wednesday. Enjoy this game tonight. We'll have a recap out tomorrow. And have a safe day.